I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. This is Netcast number 355. 55. That's like the speed limit most places. So we'll go 55 today. No, probably not. We'll probably go a little slower than that. I just like being a little slower these days. Anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Yes, and by right here, I mean our blog. Yes, our blog is a resource of information. It's amazing, if I do say so myself. And it's named after me, Dr. Bill. So it's drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. Just think Dr. Bill and TV like you're watching video. Yes. So drbill.tv there. Yes, as it says. And we are proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Because why not? Okay, we're looking at stuff this week. Stuff such as you have probably been wondering what's going on. Windows 9 won't exist. They're skipping 9 and going straight to 10. Now this puts us in a quandary. Because usually the way this works is when Microsoft releases an operating system, it's terrible. Then the users go, "What in the world are you doing, blankety blank blank?" And then they go, "Oh, okay." And they fix it. And the next version is good. Well, better. It's not Linux, but it's better. So anyway, so that's what we're used to. You know, we went from Windows 95, which was, you know, pretty good for its day, to like Windows ME, which was terrible. And then Windows XP, and everybody went, "Oh, this is awesome." And then Vista. And everybody went, "What?" And then Windows 7, and everybody went, "Oh, this is pretty good." So now we have Windows 8 and 8.x. And they have been poorly received, shall we say. The users basically said, "Where's my start menu?" And Microsoft said, "You will no longer use a start menu. Thus it has been written, thus it shall be done." And, you know, Microsoft's that way, you know what I'm saying? And the users went, "No, we won't. We'll use Chromebooks, like my nice little Chromebook right here that I'm using. We'll use Chromebooks. We won't use Windows anymore." And Microsoft went, "Yikes!" So they said, "We'll fix it, we'll fix it. We'll put it in the start menu." So that means the next version should be good, but it was supposed to be 9. Now they've named it 10. So what will that mean in the great Microsoft karma of having a good one and a bad one and a good one and a bad one? We'll have to find out. But the release of Windows 10 is upon us. It's expected to be released in final form next year, as in early next year. And the, what do you want to call it? The techie... My hat is a little wonky. Sorry. Anyway, the techie release, the tested at your own risk release, is available for Windows insiders. So use at your own risk. Know what I'm saying? But it might, who knows? It might be a good one. They probably should have left it at 9, but they went to 10. But it might be a good one. Don't know. Anyway, next item. The next item is odd. It's a YouTube video that you really need to see. And it is a parody, if you will, on tech hype. tech hype is when people say, oh, look, the new iPhone 6 is coming out, and everybody freaks out and goes, oh, and everybody starts talking about it. Well, this is a parody of somebody saying my book as a new device, and everybody goes crazy over it and is expecting it, and people are getting in line, and it doesn't really exist, which is poetic in itself. But anyway, you should see the video. It's on the blog, the aforementioned drbill.tv. Go there, click, and you shall see. And I would encourage you, watch until the very end. Otherwise, you'll miss the whole thing. Okay. Next item, the aforementioned. Must be the word of the week. Windows 10 Insider Program. A video of that. Now, this video, again, available on the blog. You click it, you watch it, you're good. And it is Windows VP Joe Belfior, if that's the way you pronounce it, talking about some of the features in Windows 10, like the new Start menu. It's really kind of bad when the new Start menu is the exciting thing about Windows 10 because they took it away from us. Know what I mean? Anyway, multiple desktops. You can have multiple desktops just like Linux. So finally, Microsoft Windows will have Linux features like multiple desktops. Okay, and improved multitasking like Linux, which has amazing multitasking. You see the pattern here? Learn how you can be part of creating the best Windows yet with the Tech Preview and the Windows Insider Program. In other words, become one of their minions. Okay. Next item, a new Mac OS X botnet has been discovered. Now, let me say this. I love my MacBook Pro. Okay. Goes without saying. I love it. I use it. I use, as I mentioned before, a Mac Mini at our church to record the video there. Awesome. Both of them have 16 gig of memory. Okay. And I really like it. However, people have said for years, Macs don't have malware. Macs don't have viruses. Macs. Come on, folks. All it takes is a virus writer who says, you know, here's a market I can hack on. And they'll develop one. So I don't care what computing platform it is, I use antivirus. Okay, now this is an antivirus for Mac called Dr. Web. I'm Dr. Bill. He's Dr. Web. Interesting. Anyway. By the way, I don't know if I've mentioned before, I'm Dr. Bill because people call me that. Students of mine, as a professor, have called me that, Dr. Bill. It's not because I'm like an egotist that wants to constantly throw in your face that I have two doctorates. Yes, Fred, I know. That was kind of slick, wasn't it? No, I do have two doctorates. One is in theology. And one is in naturopathy. And some of you are going, what a? Naturopathy. The study of natural healing practices. Okay? Some people say I'm a loon because I have studied naturopathy. But what do I care? Right? So I have a doctorate in theology and a doctorate in naturopathy. I actually had a guy at work that called me Dr. Doctor. He said, hi, Dr. Bill. And I was like, sigh. Okay, but bottom line is, it became like a nickname, okay? Dr. Bill, all right? So, there you go. So Dr. Webb, Dr. Bill, here we go. Dr. Webb on his antivirus website says that Mac OS X has a new multi-purpose backdoor called mac.backdoor.iworm. Yeah. And it says criminals can use commands to get the program to carry out a wide range of instructions on infected machines. That's bad. A statistical analysis indicates that there are more than 17,000 unique IP addresses associated with infected Macs. 17,000, as of the writing of this article, were infected. We're talking about Mac PCs out there, infected with this malware Trojan backdoor thing. Dude. So please, please, please use a good antivirus. I use Kaspersky, or Kaspersky, depending on how you want to pronounce it. I know some people say Kaspersky. That's not right. Anyway, so it does a number of things. I actually have here in the article the things that it does, the actions it performs. Getting the OS type, getting the bot version, getting the bot UID, blah, 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 all this whole long list. The bottom line is you need to use something to disinfect this sucker because it is evil. Okay? So be safe out there. Okay, anyway, next item. Red Hat is moving from a client server company, meaning they produce clients like Fedora and servers like Red Hat Enterprise Linux. They're moving away from that paradigm to a cloud computing company. What? Now, Red Hat is located in the Raleigh-Cary area of North Carolina, so they're right here in North Carolina. And, as I've said before, I was one of their very, very, very first customers. I think I was one of the first 100 that purchased Linux, Red Hat Linux, when it first came out. I mean, you know, they're right here in North Carolina. I was like, yeah, go North Carolina. So I bought it, and I got a nice little letter saying, you're one of our first 100 customers. Dude, that's pretty cool. Now, yes, that was a long time ago, okay? But anyway, it's cool. So now, our dear old friend Stephen J. Vaughn Nichols in ZDNet says, Red Hat is in the midst of changing its image from a top Linux company, probably the top Linux company, to a future king of cloud computing. CEO Jim Whitehurst told me in 2011, that the platform as a service, PaaS Cloud, would be Red Hat's future. So that was a while back. And now they're moving toward that. Today, in a blog posting, Whitehurst underlined this shift from Linux to OpenStack. And he quotes, right now, we're in the midst of a major shift from client server to cloud mobile. It's a once every 20 years kind of change. As history has shown us in the early days of those changes, winners emerge that set the standards for that era. Think Wintel in the client server era. We're staring at a huge opportunity, the chance to become the leader in enterprise cloud, much like we are the leader in enterprise open source. And I would agree with that they are. The competition is fierce, and companies will have several choices for their cloud needs. But the prize is the chance to establish open source as the default choice of the next era. Go team, okay? And to position Red Hat as the provider of choice for enterprises' entire cloud infrastructure. Dude, that's pretty cool, okay? So stay tuned for what Red Hat does in that arena, okay? And now, whoa! Yes, as Fred is reminding us, it's time for the Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week, again, is a Linux program. I had someone write me and say, please do more Linux Geek Software of the Weeks. Well, dude, you got one, and this is a good one. This is Quake. Now, I know some of you are going, Quake, that's a game, right? Isn't it like a first-person shooter? A very old one? Well, yes, it is. But in Quake, the game, they had a feature where you could chat with people, kind of, you know, send messages with this little pop-up window that you hit a button and boop, it pops up and you could talk to people. Well, somebody got the idea, ooh, what if we could do that with a terminal in Linux? And so now you just hit F12 and boop, little terminal pops up. You don't have to tediously go along and go, you know, system programs, this, that, the other, and then bring up your terminal. This little terminal pops right up. Okay, Quake is a drop-down terminal. Hit F12 and bam, there it is for Linux. It is designed to look and act like the messaging widget in the game Quake, as I said. Thus the odd spelling in the name. The name is spelled as it says there on the screen, G-U-A-K-E. What? Quake. Still Quake, but just no Q. So there you go. It's pretty cool. And I suggest you try it out if you are a Linux user, as you all should be, okay? And finally, last item for the week, we have some geek culture. You know, the old British phone boxes are iconic. They're, you know, the big red boxes that nobody uses anymore. I mean, let's face it, how many people have you seen using a phone booth? How many people have even seen a phone booth these days, right? Well, in Britain, they've got 8,000 of these, you know, red British phone booths sitting around. So somebody got the idea. Actually, I'll tell you who the somebody is here. The project is the brainchild of two geography students turned entrepreneurs, Harold Craston and Kirsty Kinney. Both studied at the London School of Economics and were interested in finding new ways to use public spaces. And so they, you know, saw these old phone booths that nobody were using and said, you know, what if we turn them into places where you could charge your phone? And what if we made them green by making them solar powered? So they have a solar thing on top of the booth, retrofitted, obviously. And then you go in and it's got multiple cables where you can plug in your phone no matter what style of charge it needs. And you can charge your phone for free. Now, you say, well, how do they monetize that? Well, they have ads on a screen. So while you're standing there charging your phone, you see these ads go by, which is kind of cool. But now think about this. You take the old phone booth, which nobody's using anyway. In this case, they repaint it green, you know, kind of like the image there. About to hit my microphone. Anyway, they paint it green, and then they put all this technology in it. Then they lock it at night so it won't get destroyed. Now that goes. And you go in there and you charge your phone. One solar box can charge up to 100 phones a day, offering a 20% battery boost in 10 minutes. So basically while you're standing there counting your change, while it's charging, you see the ads on the screen. It's actually quite clever. So cool. But this is highly geek culture because you're getting rid of the old phone booths, or at least reusing them. You know, changing them, reusing them. And you're charging your new mobile device. So we're going from old to new. How cool is that? So anyway, that'll do it for this week. Join us next time, and remember until then that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.